It's not even
so
dinner.
Early.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Bootlist podcast. Alexa was getting Wi-Fi last Sunday, so now we actually have the Bootlist coming to you today. It was 3 days late for all those haters of Alexa.
I actually got my Wi-Fi about an hour ago, so I was really playing with fire by assuming it would be ready by 6:30. But here we are, third apartment in 3 years, so hopefully this one will last. And I feel like so far the Wi-Fi is going well, so again, I'm better than Will and Phil.
There you go. Well, there's the jinx of all jinx. Also, I loved some of the Twitter comments about like how I should just find somebody else or I should just do it alone anyway.
Yeah, seriously, people, you move on fast.
I know. That's it. I'm telling you, they don't forget who Will even was. I mean,
I knew that it was tough reception when I was replacing Will, but geez, I thought after a year and a half, I'd get a little, I'd get a little love now. No following, except for that one person keeps telling me I'm cute, which is fine.
Yeah. I mean, as long as, my name comes first here, that's what it comes down to, Alexa, So there's a reason that's Phil comes first, and it's because everybody loves Phil. But anyway, we're going to do this Bootlist game. Got a couple first one out articles. Not that it really does you much good. To everybody who doesn't think that we've heard the people's voices, we've heard them, like the six voices. We're not.
Let us exaggerate, people, please.
Like, we heard them. We did watch that preview, but that was also back in whatever, and like, you know what I mean. We didn't get a minute and a half video of them just talking like we used to. So anyway, Bootlist game. We've done this pretty much every season since Worlds Apart. What it is everybody can submit a Bootlist. Alexa and I are going to break ours down now. You go from 20 to 1. There's an example in the description of the video tonight. And all you have to do is submit your Bootlist 20 to 1. And you want to get the lowest score possible. Whoever gets the lowest score possible wins a buff. We just do one buff for it. We do actually give the buffs out. Adam won it once before he went on the show, and then he won the prop bet another time, but he did win the Bootlist one time.
We've also banned him from winning all of our future games.
Well, and not for nothing, now he overthinks it so much that he's really got no shot. If you listen to some of the things that he'll talk about, it's like, hey, I saw this person, looks like they lost like 1.7 pounds, which would only mean that they could have lasted 2 days or something, like he really overanalyzes. So there's different strategies here for me and Alexa. Normally it's, we're the first ones out doing it here, so we have to just kind of put it together and hope. And my strategy is
people usually base their Bootlist off of ours, which I wouldn't recommend.
No, we're always terrible. I don't think we've ever finished in the top 100 out of people who have entered. Like,
no,
I'd be
whenever I post like the weekly standings, I put ours and then I do the top five, and we are always miles behind, like fifth place.
And I'm not surprised. It's what's going to happen. We come out early with this. A lot of people will come out later. And they'll wait until right before you get some previews in there. Maybe Davey's missing from a whatever it's called, a challenge, and you're like, well, obviously he's the first boot. That's what happened the one season. I forget which season it was, but Alexa and I
think a lot of people interpreted Katrina being gone because she wasn't in anything.
Yeah, exactly. So we come out right away. We don't really have any previews to work with. Obviously, we have the preview from the finale last year. Yes, that's there. Which we don't need to, comment about that.
So the Wednesday that we assumed the cast reveal was going to happen, I was preparing for it because I was at work, and I was going frame by frame. And after 15 seconds, I was like, this isn't worth it. This is just a waste of time.
Well, somebody else is going to do it for you anyway. So, you can go on there and find it.
Next our survivor.
Yeah. We just report on it, right? Like, we don't actually,
we just take everyone's ideas and then give them a little bit of sarcastic flair and then spit them out. And all of a sudden they're ours.
And then there are. So that's it. So for anybody who's like curious, only on the YouTube video, only on this video can you submit. It makes it so much easier for Alexa, myself, and intern to find it all. And that's where it needs to be.
If you tweet at us, we will not do it. If you Facebook us, we will not do it. If you email us, which like two people have done ever, we will not do it. You must comment on this video, not the prop video, not the cast assessment video, this one. We get last year and the year before, we got like almost 300 Bootlists, and that was plenty to put in. And so we are not putting in more than is absolutely necessary. We're not putting ones in that don't follow the rules. And speaking of following the rules, if you cheat, you are gone. If you try to cheat and you do it poorly, you are still gone. We know when you're trying to cheat. We know people, so don't do it.
We saw the boot list last year. It was horrible. It wasn't even close.
It was also extremely wrong.
Yeah, it was a terrible, terrible boot list, and so many people had it like player for player right down the line, and like somebody will switch one person here and there.
Creativity when you're cheating.
Yeah, have a little bit. So the way I look at it is, if you really want to cheat, cheat well so that we don't notice it. But if you find a boot list, we'll know that those boot lists are out there, because when we put these in, we notice, hey, this boot list looks identical to the other one. And yes, it seems like that would happen, but with only 300 entries and 20 people playing the game, there should not be any identical boot list. Just saying. So if we start getting
four that were spitting images of each other,
and then like there'd be like a couple more that were just one off. Yeah. Okay. We don't know that you're trying to base this on cheating. So here we go. Don't use ours.
Now that we're done playing mom and dad.
Yes. Now that we're done playing mom and dad, don't use ours to cheat. I'll say Alexa, ladies first. What do you got at 20?
Okay. So number 20. So I was telling Phil this before, and I'm just going to go full disclosure, because I would like to defend my probably terrible boot list, that I still have some people floating around, which means like in real time, I'm going to be adding to my boot list. But my bottom, I do have, I have Mike White at number 20. I have him low. I am not confident that he's going to last long. I think he is significantly more, not significantly more well known than, I don't know if it's Johnny Nitro, Johnny Mundo. I don't know which one we're like rolling with, but John Hennigan. I think people are going to see him and immediately think Ned Schneebly, or like if you saw him, you would immediately know him. He's super rich. He's very well known. And on top of that, I don't know where he's going to get them in challenges. I don't know how far he can get them. He's also been on The Amazing Race. He's been on reality TV. He lives a life that is surrounded by reality TV. I see no reason to keep him, and I want him to stay. I would love to see him on my TV, but if I was on his tribe, I would vote him out first.
Yeah, I have Mike pretty low. I don't have him all the way at the bottom, but I think the one thing that can work in Mike's benefit is that he has played reality TV before. And maybe we saw like what happened with Natalie Anderson. She was able to kind of get her footing a little bit better than some people who had never been out there on a show. So I think that he might have a little bit of an upper hand there. Maybe he comes out and says, nobody's going to vote for me to win anyway. You know, you can always play that argument. So that buys him a couple of days. I'm going real basic here with my 20 and 19. I have really nothing to go on here. So I'm just going to say the two people, one who's not going to the reunion and the other one who came out and announced themselves. And for anybody who thinks that I'm hating on them, I'm not hating, but I have nothing else to go on. And I'm figuring if they came out that quickly about it, and if they're already saying Alex not coming to the reunion, he probably doesn't even hit the merge. So I got Alec at 20 and I got Kara at 19. Doesn't necessarily mean I think they're going to go 20 and 19, but I am pretty confident neither one of them is making the merge based on everything that happened preseason. And also, I saw that somebody had posted that Kara made over $200 million in real estate. Yes, that makes sense as to why she would be a Goliath.
That's fine.
That's pretty impressive. But everything else aside, I'm just going based on what I saw before the season even began. And knowing not much else, I got Alec 20, Kara number 19.
And now it's time for a commercial break. This podcast is sponsored by TMZ.
Yeah, exactly.
They are the reason we are making this boot list. Okay, I veer off a little bit. Number 19, I go with Lyrsa, which is I think how you pronounce her name. Her accent sounds much nicer than mine does when I try to say her name. And I made this boot list, and then actually today I was reading her first one out, and I was reading people's first impressions of her. And a lot of people were drawn to her. Some people said that she was quiet, but Elizabeth, of all people, she was like, this girl is so different from me. I want to hang out with her. So what does Vaughn always say? They have a high ceiling. Is that his thing?
They have a high ceiling and a low floor.
High ceiling and a low floor. I think that's kind of where I see her. I think if she can get her footing days 1 through 3, I think that'll be really good for her. I think she's super interesting. She moved to Boston from Puerto Rico only a year and a half ago, I think. So her just like going on Survivor right after that, I think is super cool. So I really hope she lasts long. But at first glance, I am a little nervous for her, so I do have her at number 19.
Yeah, I have her at 18, and then I have Mike at 17. So I'm jumping ahead of you a little bit, but it's because you talked about both of them already. So I go Lyrsa at 18 and Mike at 17. I really think that with Lyrsa, I think that she can do well. And I do think that, like you said, she has a higher ceiling. I just give I think that the Davids lose the first challenge. And I could see her just being the first boot just because she's a little bit different. Now, I am really surprised because when I was doing this boot list, I was putting a lot more Goliaths at the bottom. And then I had so many Davids left near the top, which I was kind of surprised because I'm figuring that they'll do two challenges at least. And in the two challenges, the Davids will probably lose both. But if that's not the case, maybe somehow the Davids win one because they do kind of make it so that it's a level playing field as opposed to just strength-based or the Goliaths just run away with it. Maybe it maybe they split them. Maybe they don't. But I really feel like the Davids are probably going to lose the first challenge. It'd be a great story if they didn't, kind of like back in Amazon or Batu. But I think that that's what's going to happen. Still, I put Kara and Alec down there because I think that their ceiling is the lowest on this season. If they had a higher ceiling, they wouldn't have already announced Alec wasn't coming to the reunion. And why is Kara still coming and Alec isn't? I'm kind of curious as to what the reason behind that is. So
I'm not sure. I think we talked about that in the cast assessment, like how they decide the punishments.
Yeah.
Not because I prefer one over the other. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's why I put Kara above Alec, is because I think her ceiling's a little bit higher. But I think Lyrsa has a higher ceiling than both, despite being on what I think is the weaker tribe and being somebody who I think will be targeted probably right away. But I do think that she's also somebody who could probably work her way out of that hole. But I think that she'll be the first boot on David just by, you know, first impressions. And then Mike, I put at 17 because I don't know, with Mike, I just think that he's got so much going for him. People are going to recognize him. And we saw what happened with Jimmy Johnson back in Nicaragua. He was able to survive a tribal, but then he goes down because people just can't get over the fact that it's Jimmy Johnson. Like, he's going to be able to sway people. He's too good. He's too like anything. And he did nothing wrong on that season other than be Jimmy Johnson. So I really think that Mike White is going to have a really hard time out there. He's not as big of a name as Jimmy Johnson, but I do think that once you see him, he's got a really recognizable face, a really recognizable like appearance. This is going to be a guy that you say, I've seen him before. If it gets out that he was on The Amazing Race, you might get those people who say he's already had his chance, although you are on a tribe with Johnny Mundo, so who knows. But I think that he's in trouble early on. So even if they hit a swap, I think Mike is probably somebody they start to target early. So I got him at 17.
Yeah, that's a good point. Swap or not, I think he's in a pretty tough position. Jimmy Johnson's a good comparison because even if – like, people who aren't sports fans know who Jimmy Johnson is. And people who aren't, like I don't know the film industry nearly to the extent that you do, but we both know who Mike White is. So he's in a tough position no matter what. So I flip Alec and Kara. I go Kara at 18, Alec at 17. I've considered looking into the fact that he was banned and she wasn't, but I'm more creating this in my mind. I'm telling myself that there's some form of showmance. I'm more comparing it to the like Malcolm and Angie thing where they were just like two attractive people who would like occasionally spend time with each other and everyone thought they were this superpower couple. And in these kind of situations, the girl like 9 times out of 10 goes first. So I have Kara going first and then they're getting rid of Alec. I could see Kara fitting in with that group a tiny bit more. If she's in real estate, she has a lot of different personalities, but I guess if you're a bartender, you also do. So I just refuted my own thought there, but I have Kara at 18, Alec at 17. I was going to have them pre-merge no matter what. To your point, this guy's already not going to be at the reunion, so he can't be in the top three, can't be top four. And I can't imagine he's going to be on the jury because recently they've been breaking it out where they introduce the final three, they introduce the jury, and then they introduce the earlier or the pre-merge. And with the whole Stephanie Johnson thing, like she was really popular. So I think that stuck out, but I think with people already knowing that Alec's not going to be there, they're going to breeze over that really quickly.
Yeah. I'm not sure what's going to happen with this, but it's funny that we have the same bottom four just in a different order, but I think it's going to turn into a little bit of craziness now because I really just started. Those are my four that I was like, these are who I think are the bottom four. And out of those four, I think Lyrsa has the best chance to go the furthest. I think that Lyrsa is somebody who could win the game. I don't see any of the other three winning strictly because of the TMZ thing and because it's Mike White. So remember, we're making a boot list. This is my strategy here. So this is how I'm going about it. Next up, I have Pat.
Wow.
And I thought I would have put Pat higher, but then I started to realize I can't keep putting all of the Goliaths down here. And if I'm looking at this group of Davids, I think that somebody like Davey is going to kind of get like under, like he's going to be a presence on this season. I think Christian's going to be a strategist. I think Gabby's going to make it pretty far. I think Nick's going to be likable. So I was between really Pat, B, and Jessica. And I ended up going with Pat at 16 first, mainly because I think that he has a chance to fit in with some of these people. But I think somebody like Elizabeth has a better chance of fitting in with the younger group because I think that she's just kind of like zany. Like she's just kind of, it's kind of like what happened with Lauren Rimmer. Like Lauren Rimmer got along really well with like Devin and Ryan and like the younger people on her tribe. And I think a lot of that had to do with, she just has like a younger personality than she maybe comes across. So I think that if anybody can kind of bridge that gap a little bit and kind of get in with Gabby, get in with Christian, maybe the two of them work together and they want to pull in somebody like Elizabeth who they think is, you know, not threatening perhaps. I think that Elizabeth is, or I think that Pat is somebody that they really never go to. And I don't know. I think Pat has a good story, but I also think maybe Pat is a victim of a tribe swap. He could be somebody who's very vocal after a tribe swap. I'm completely just making stuff up as I go.
Pat, yeah, this is good. We all are.
Pat at 16.
Okay, Pat at 16. I have Pat a little bit higher. But I, it's funny you said that you have mostly Goliaths in your pre-merge because mine's pretty half and half. I put Jessica at number 16, and this actually has nothing to do with what came out about her also on TMZ, which is sponsoring this podcast at the moment. I don't see Jessica fitting in with her group. I think people had a fairly positive first impression of her. She's going to say that she's 22, which I think helps, but I think this is such an eclectic group on this David tribe. The Goliath tribe, I get them a little more, but this David tribe is a really, really odd group of people. And I like that because I think it's going to be all over the place. But Jessica is the one person who I don't see her. I know Gabby's like the other like token young person, but I don't really see them connecting. They don't seem to have a ton in common to me. B, I feel like B would not really connect with her. I'm just unsure of who she'll connect with. And I think similar to Lyrsa, I think if she does well her first 3 days, she'll be fine. I actually think she would do well with the tribe swap because there's some Goliaths that I could see her meshing with. But I don't know. I'm a little nervous for her. I think for the first time I can say this, and God knows how many years, I think her age being in her like low 20s or high teens, it's a big disadvantage for her.
Yeah, I think it's a big disadvantage for her, but I also think that somebody like Jessica could slide by a little bit. And I think that she probably can play the game a little bit better, but just from what we've seen normally, other than Julia, I'm not really sure which of the young, like, pretty blonde girls who are 18, 19, 20, 21 in that range really come out to play, like, and play that well. So I think that they might look at Jessica as somebody we can take her far with us. Like, she's never going to be somebody who tries to take us out. Maybe they try to do what Dom did with Libby last year, where it was, oh, she's like the next Parvati, she's the next Parvati, and he doesn't really believe it. Or maybe he does, but he's just kind of trying to do it to take a target off his back. So I think Jessica is like destined to be either like that crazy merge boot that just seems to be what's happening lately, or she can go pretty deep and just doesn't quite make it to final three, final four. You know, she kind of just misses the finale or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
At 15, I have Davey, and a lot of this has to do with in those first one outs, the fact that Davey just, it like came out that Davey was like a last second guy, like the 11th hour, somebody said. So I put Davey at 15. I was going to put Davey much, much higher. I had him all the way up to number 10. And then now I'm concerned because the same thing we saw happen with Candace and John Cody back in Blood versus Water. They were such an unknown entity that it ends up being the reason that Candace gets booted right off the bat. They don't know enough about her. Come on. You've seen Candace play twice before this. And then after that, I think that you saw what happened with So in Worlds Apart. She was kind of in trouble because she was a last second addition. So I think last second additions are always bad because, you know, we've heard it in these cast, you know, interviews that we do with the players after the season. And they'll say a lot of times, like, it starts before the game starts, just looking at somebody, seeing somebody eating, somebody getting seconds while somebody else isn't getting seconds. These are things you think about. And maybe Davey wasn't able to do all of that. So I put Davey at 15.
So I also have Davey at 15, but for a very different reason. I think you have a really good point with that. I have been taking these first impressions very seriously the past however many years I've been doing this, however many seasons. But then on the flip side, everyone hated Ashley preseason, but look how like funny and goofy and loved Ashley was at the end of Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. People were huge fans of her. So I don't take that into account that much. I think he's going to get the Pat Bolton treatment. I think he's just going to be really, really weird, and it's going to be really awesome to watch. But I think this tribe is like, I think they're going to want to mesh. I mean, that's what you're going to want so early on. And I think he's going to walk in wanting to be a shit stirrer, and that worked in season 19 when Russell Hance was like the first one to do it, but it doesn't get you that far anymore. It didn't get Bradley very far. It didn't get Pat very far. And it makes me nervous for Davey. I think if he can turn it off for a little bit, that'll be fine. But yeah, I'm just nervous for him. I think he'll stick out.
Yeah, I think he is going to stick out. And I think that's, you know, it's a shame. I think he can be a lot of fun, though, in the time. And he could go further. He could go much, much further, especially if he turns into, like, I was rewatching China. And, like, if he turns into, like, a Jean Robert, where it's just kind of a joke that he's even out there, where everybody's just like, we're going to vote him out whenever we want to. This is whatever.
Yeah.
Then maybe they keep Davey around for a little bit longer. Hey, maybe Davey has a lot of game. But what I'm gathering from Davey's pictures, from his bio, is Davey is just going
to follow him on Insta.
That's what we need to do. And I feel like what I'm gathering from Davey is he's going to end up pissing somebody off and going kind of early, but I don't know. See, now I get into my bunch here where 14 through 11, I guess it's 14 through 10. I really like all of these people. I just don't know. I had to put somebody here, and I feel like these are all threats. So I have 14. I actually have Natalia.
And oh, my God, that's what I have. I thought I was being different.
How do we have such similar boot lists right now? This is weird. We didn't even talk about it since we did our cast assessment. This is very strange.
You go, and then I'll give my take.
Okay, my reason for Natalia is I think by far she's the strongest woman other than B on the season. And I think that because she's on the Goliaths, she looks like she's more successful. She is gorgeous. She's out there, and she's an industrial engineer. I think these are all things that work against her. And I think that on the Goliath tribe, maybe she can fit in, but maybe some of the guys will be intimidated by her. Or maybe Angelina will be like, I don't want her around. Or Allison will say, I don't want her around. Or Natalie Cole says, I don't want her around. And then
the only girl I could see being quote unquote threatened by her would be Natalie Cole, because Natalie Cole's an like extremely high powered, successful person.
I'm just trying to figure out how she's going to bond with these people. And I also think, like, if there's a swap, and let's say you want to take out somebody who looks powerful on that tribe, the guys, yeah, you have Johnny Mundo. But aside from Johnny Mundo and Alec, do these guys really look like, does Mike White look like somebody you need to, like, take out, like, immediately? I feel like Natalia looks like she's the type of person who could have, like, the triple threat thing going on. She's great looking, she's a strategist, and she's going to be good in challenges. So I think that she has a really good chance of going home.
So I obviously have her in the same place, but for different reasons. I think the girls on this tribe, they're pretty young, and I think that that's one of the big differences I see between the Davids and the Goliaths. So I think in terms of, like, having buddies, I think she'll be fine. Like, I think in terms of connecting with the girls on her tribe, I'm not too nervous about that. But I was burned by Stephanie Gonzalez once, and I am hugely, like, wrapping them together. But this girl has a very strong personality. All these people do. But hers, for some reason, hers stuck out to me in the little that I've read about her, which is honestly why I really like her. But I think that's going to work to her disadvantage. I think, I guess this is like 14 is like a tribe swap kind of position to get voted out. So I think she'll have a good place in her Goliath tribe, but then come tribe swap, I don't really see anyone on David in the David group instantaneously who I see her working with. So I think a tribe swap could work to her disadvantage.
Yeah.
Again, I'm a huge fan of her. I like, in my cast assessment, I wrote, I want to be her friend. But I'm a little nervous for her.
Yeah. And what I think too with Natalia is she could be somebody who overplays maybe at a swap. We saw that happen.
That's
with
what Stephanie Gonzalez did.
But it wasn't, she didn't, I'm saying at like a swap, because I think Natalia will be okay right away. But I'm saying at a swap. We saw it happen with Eve back in Nicaragua. We see it happen. We kind of even saw it happen with Figgy, where she didn't overplay, but she just kind of like wasn't really thinking. And I think that that's what's going to happen with Natalia, is maybe she comes out and she just is too aggressive once they actually swap and she maybe doesn't have the numbers, or maybe she does have the numbers, but she tries to bond with too many people and that makes her threatening. And I'm gathering all of this from a couple of answers and her picture.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what we're basing this all off of.
Yeah. Do you want to go first this time? Since maybe you can jump on.
Yes, because I want to make it seem like I'm copying you. So now we are going to our presumed merge boot, which has been kind of similar, and then Chris Noble came in and just blew it all up. It was your like strategic, slightly athletic, but like quote unquote out of nowhere female strategist. And then there was Chris Noble, but he was the greatest merge boot of all time. So that's separate. I have Angelina at number 13. Oh no, you don't also have 13.
I actually have Angelina at 13. We have been so spot on with each other. Maybe we just need to do it where we just look at like their pictures next year too. Cause it seems like all the other
years. Hold up a card and you should just like give their boot number.
It's crazy. Like, okay, so other than Pat and Jessica, we have been spot on with each other. We have Davey, Natalia, Angelina in the same spot. And we have the same four people in our bottom four. It's just spot 16 that we're different.
This is not good. Okay, well, she, the more I read about her, the more I like her. CBS came out with her video and she is just like bubbly and awesome and super interesting. Like she gives me Morgan vibes just from the, you see a 10 second video of her and you're like, I want to hang out with this girl. She seems super cool. And I think that's how these merge boots go. They will probably assume she doesn't have an idol for reasons unknown. And they're going to say, well, this girl's likable. She's probably in a pretty good place. Let's just knock her down. Or it might not even be that deliberate. She just could be the stray bullet. She could be what Libby would have been if Chris Noble was smart enough to play his own idol.
Yeah, and I think Angelina, I have her as the merge boot for pretty much everything you just said. Like, she's what merge boots have become. Like, she's Haley, she's Libby, or Libby wasn't the merge boot, but, you know, Libby went right after the merge.
Could have been.
Yeah, like, she is that type of character, or at least what I'm gathering. She's the Stanford graduate who's very social and was her class president, and probably a big fan considering she, like, knows Adam. So I think that Angelina, like, just screams merge boot to me. She just screams it, and I think
she
that
literally.
I think though Angelina, this is somebody like Vaughn would always say. I put Angelina in the middle because she has the highest ceiling and like the lowest floor. She could easily get last place if Goliath loses the first challenge. They could just say we're voting out Angelina. She could also go on to win the entire game. So I feel like putting her at 13 is kind of a safe spot because all she has to do is survive a couple boots. Or I think she'll be too threatening once she actually hits emerge anyway. Especially if she has any type of number. So I put Angelina at 13 as your merge boot for this season. Alexa and I, we need to like differ here because.
Think you brought up a good point. This is the last thing I'll say on number 13. Other than the Chris Noble incident, being the merge boot has been like a compliment because it was Jessica and Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. It's all people who like the other players could think could win. So Angelina, this is a compliment. Hopefully you're listening to us. Exactly. You go to 12, and I think / hope we're going to start differing.
Johnny Mundo. Do you have Johnny Mundo?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, I'm dead serious. I do.
Oh, my God. So pretty much what happened was Alexa and I sat down last Wednesday. We sat down together, and we said, let's do this cast assessment. And we talked to each other, and it's the only opinion we have because this is ridiculous. And maybe we'll be right for the first time ever and everybody will think we cheated and looked at like a boot list.
Oh, that'd be funny considering how much we preach about not cheating.
Exactly. But okay, here's my reason for Johnny Mundo. I feel like this is a cast. You know what it is? This is such an old school looking cast that I think it makes
it
easier.
Awesome. I love this cast.
It kind of makes it easy to rank them because I sit here and I look at Johnny Mundo. Maybe he's the merge boot. Maybe they try to boot him like where Cliff went home in Cagayan. Maybe he can win a couple immunity challenges and goes home at 10th. But can Johnny Mundo really go further than 10th place? Like, I really don't see him going much further than that. And I also don't think that he'll go before the merge. And if he does, it won't be far before the merge. So I like having him right here, number 12. Hey, I would love to see him go further. I think he's going to be a great character on the season. But he just screams right around the merge boot.
And I originally had him really low because in our cast assessment, we were talking about, is he a celebrity? How do we feel about him being like kind of a celebrity, especially an athletic celebrity? but I watched his cast video and he brought up a good point. Like WWE, what he does is about, it's about not just deceiving people, but it's about showing them a certain persona and entertaining them and making them like you. He said, you can't carry a show if people don't care about what you have to say. And so I think, and he also has such knowledge of the game. Like the way that he speaks about Survivor is really fascinating. And so it's cool that he's like a huge fan, kind of like Jimmy Johnson was a huge Survivor fan, but he didn't get the chance to really develop that on TV. But yeah, I mean, I think he'll be a good leader if he wants to take that role. He can either take the Davey role, which I don't think he'll want to do because I think he actually wants to win, or he could take this leadership role and say, like, hey, guys, I'm athletic. I'm a leader. I can do this. And then come merge, everyone's going to be like, well, this guy also has a lot of sponsorship money. And I don't know how much he makes, but I see him. I'm not going to give him $1 million. So I think that is around his cap. So, but again, same as you, I hope he goes farther because I think he'll be really interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Number 11, you go. No, I'm making you go first.
Me, I go. Okay. So this is where I get a little really just unsure. I have B at 11.
Oh, uh-huh. Thank goodness.
Oh,
I have Elizabeth.
God. Okay.
I have B at 10.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm glad I put her at 11. And B's another one who I think is really interesting. It's funny. I have our two like MMA, our two like fighters back to back. The only thing that makes me nervous about her is that she doesn't have a ton of Survivor experience, but the more I thought about it, that doesn't really bother me. This isn't a huge season of like crazy super fans. I don't think it's going to work to her disadvantage. I think people are going to see her as a really hard worker and really good in challenges early on, so they'll want to keep her. I think she's a really interesting story. She comes from a lot of different walks of life, and I think that will help her relate to a lot of people. Elizabeth clearly wants to meet people who aren't like her. I think B and Elizabeth couldn't be more different. So I'm not too concerned about that. But then I think a number, where I have her, number 11, and like 11 through 7 is where people start voting out those who they think they can win way too early. And I think people are going to see B and they're like, this girl has a really cool story. She's from rural Vietnam, was a car saleswoman. Now she's an MMA fighter. Like, this girl's got it all. We got to get rid of her, even though it's way too early to get rid of your winner threat.
Yeah, I have Elizabeth at 11 because I'm going with the whole Debbie thing, where I believe that Elizabeth gets into the merge. She's kind of not going to win the game. Everybody knows that she's really not going to win the game. And she's kind of out there, and then she starts really trying to play the game a little bit harder. So she goes home maybe after a big physical threat like Johnny Mundo, after a really big strategic threat like Angelina. Maybe she starts trying to blow the game up a little bit too much. B, I can't get a great read on, but I do think that she does really well in this pre-merge because she's the strongest female on that tribe, and they're going to want to keep her around. And then I also think that because of her MMA background, when they do a tribe swap, she'll be able to fit in with somebody like Johnny Mundo. And maybe she'll be able to talk to some of these Goliaths because she does have a very Goliath job, even though she's a David. So I think that she is somebody who can kind of bridge the gap between both sides. I just think that she becomes threatening to win. Maybe she becomes just a number on somebody's side because, like you said, she hasn't seen a lot of Survivor. So maybe she just becomes a number. So that's why I have her at 10, but I think Elizabeth is going to start to play too hard right around merge time, because that's when a lot of players, whether you're experienced or not, really start to like come out and be like, okay, this is my time. And that's when it starts to bite them. And I can see Elizabeth being somebody who's not very subtle with it. And that's why she goes home.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Do you want to, because you have B at 10, do you want to give your reasoning for her and then I'll go into my number 10?
Well, I gave my reasoning for B. I just think that she fits in well, and then once she gets to a certain point, they're going to look at her and say, okay, like, is she a number? Can she win? Then you want to get rid of her. She's got the great story, so they might want to get rid of her for that. Like, she has so many reasons.
I thought you were talking about Elizabeth in that way, which I guess like they're both pretty, you can describe both of them that way.
Yeah.
So for number 10, I have Christian, and I was a little unsure of where to put him. I had him kind of floating around for a little bit. But I'm reading a lot about him, and he continues to compare himself to Cochran, which I think is a good comparison. But he's a self-proclaimed game bot. So I don't feel bad saying that. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I think that's a way that people are playing now, and it's worked well for a lot of people. But what I fear for him is that he's going to take that to a very extreme level. And I think that's really going to work in the pre-merge phase. But I think when there's not many people left, everyone's going to want to start building their resumes. And I think he's going to want to start rallying troops his way. And I don't think this is a group of followers. I think all of these people are going to try to carve their own paths. And I think they are going to try, they're going to see him kind of in like the whole Zeke way. Like Zeke and David, they were rounding up all their troops. And then everyone was like, wait a second, like they're the problems. We need to get rid of them. That's kind of where I see it going with Christian. Just because every single thing that I've read in an interview with him has been him describing how the social politics work and how he intends to like treat the game exactly like a game. And I think that makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. And I think the two biggest things against him, well, number one is that he looks like Cochran, like way too much. He looks so much like Cochran.
I don't think they look alike. Isn't that weird?
I think that
they're nerdy and I have glasses. I don't know.
But the hair, not like, I know Cochran has like the red hair, but just like the way he kind of like holds himself, even in like his picture, I think that he looks similar enough to Cochran that people might say, oh, that's the Cochran of our season. And I think that's going to hurt him. And the other thing is that he does, in fact, work at Florida State, which is just like, what are
you? Which is just like, he should be the first one out.
Yeah, he should get voted out first. If he can overcome the Florida State thing, then he might be the greatest player of all time.
I mean, if you live in Tallahassee, you could probably win Survivor.
It's true. It's very true. But yeah, I think you're right, though, with Christian. Like, I think that being a game bot doesn't necessarily ever help you win the game. So he's going to play it just like a game, but it's going to eventually hurt him. I have him at 8. I have Jeremy at 9. So I'm jumping ahead of you a little bit, but because you were talking about Christian. I have Jeremy at 9. I really like Jeremy. But I do think that Jeremy is somebody, like, if you look at this at this group that I have left, at least, and even, like, just in terms of Jeremy's 40 years old from South Carolina, like, attorney, I think that, like, he's going to try to stir up some trouble. And if he starts stirring up some trouble, then this is a guy who the younger people who are left in the game are going to try to get rid of. I think that Jeremy has a lot of potential, though. I think Jeremy could easily win this game. I just think that if you're looking at the Goliath tribe, I don't see him going pre-merge. I think that if there's a swap, I think he can fit in well with the David tribe. I think that he can like really work his way into that, being that he lives in South Carolina. He has like a little bit of like that or he lives in New York now, but he is from South Carolina. So I think he can kind of go both ways. He's got the city, and then he's also got the Nick Wilsons that he can run over to. But I think that he's another one. He's probably going to play too hard. And we see this happen a lot with Chris, like you just brought up the Chris, David, Zeke thing. You know, Chris goes home because it came out of nowhere and people were like, wow, he's actually like, you know, he could be really threatening to win this, or he's just dangerous. So I think that while Jeremy could win it, I like him at 9. And then, like I said, with Christian, I think the biggest thing working against him is that he looks like Cochran, and that people will instantly just assume, oh, it's Cochran. Like, that's the Cochran of our season. So him getting this far is even good. But I think he does pretty well, because I think he's going to fit in well with the David tribe. It's just a matter of how far they're going to let him go once the merge.
So Jeremy, pretty popular street, and I think I live near a hospital because there were a lot of ambulances. So going back to my first apartment, that's what it's going to be like. Jeremy's a Goliath, though.
Goliath, yeah. But I know he's a Goliath. I'm saying if he were to swap to the Davids, he could fit in really well with the Davids.
Oh, okay, got it. Cool. So I actually have Jeremy quite a bit higher. I have Nick at number 9, and this is mostly because I didn't know where to put Nick. Nick was one of the few people I was like, I'm not really sure. I think he's going to be really likable. I think people are going to fall in love with him. And I think he's going to be another one kind of like, I can't really compare him to anybody else. I think he's going to be one where people are going to either find out that he's a lawyer and get mad about it, because people usually find out about this kind of stuff, or they're going to say, this guy is just so down to earth. He's so relatable. He just has this air about him, and he's got to go. I think he'll be pretty good in challenges. I can't really get a read on like how he wants to play strategically, but I think he is someone who I would never want to sit next to, because I think he would win. Or people are going to find out he's a lawyer, because that stuff slips up, and they'll want to get rid of him because of that, because people love getting rid of lawyers for some reason.
Yeah. All right. I hear you on that. I have Nick higher, but I hear you. Cool. Who do you have at eight?
Eight, I have Elizabeth. So I see her doing pretty well, and I don't see her as being just a number. I wouldn't go so far as to compare her to Lauren. I know like people are comparing her to Lauren Rimmer physically, which is fine. But I think people are really gonna like her. I think pre-merch she's gonna do fine. I think she is kind of quirky, but so is pretty much everybody on this tribe. And then I think people are going to look at her. I go Elizabeth and then Pat. They're going to look at these two back to back and say, these guys have really, really good stories. They come from very humble upbringings. They're both like a big family man, a big family woman. And you do want to give them $1 million. Like I would vote for them. I don't even know them and I would give them $1 million. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look at them. If I'm Natalie or if I'm Jeremy or if I'm Dan, I'm going to say, of course everyone would vote for them over me. So they got to go. I think the Goliaths are really going to want to get rid of those two because they are like, to me, those are like the faces of the Davids. Pat, obviously, because he is the reason that the season's happening. But yeah, I go back to back with them because I think even though they're very different, I think people are going to perceive them similarly.
Yeah, I've already talked about both of them. We almost put Pat and Jessica in the same spots, just like switched. But mm-hmm. I actually have Carl at seven. I think Carl is too threatening, and I think that's why he doesn't get.
I love Carl.
I know. I think that's why he doesn't get near the end game. I think he's too threatening. I think he's a big fan of the show. Does he have a fan? Is he like a family? Is he a father?
Yeah, he is. I know he said he loves his family and he loves his truck.
Okay, there you go. So I think like this is like a laid back guy who's really likable, who I think people will, he's going to fit in really well at the beginning because of all these Texas connections too. I think that's a big deal with B and Carl and Elizabeth. They all have that Texas connection. And I think that he's just going to be a likable guy. I think he's going to be able to fit in well with the Goliaths because I don't think he's going to really try to cause too much trouble. But I do think that at some point you eventually look at a person like that and you say, oh, like he's going to win the game. We cannot let him get further. And then at six, I have Jessica finally. I think that Jessica can sneak all the way to six. I know. I think that she can get all the way down to six. And, you know, the only thing we know about Jessica is her tweets. I mean, that's all we know. But I don't think
she's going to be running around the island screaming that.
I don't think so. Exactly. And I think that she can kind of ride under the I don't think she's going to be the loudest person on her tribe from the start. And we kind of saw it with Gonzalez. She wasn't that loud, but she was loud enough that people noticed her. And that ends up being a problem sometimes at the beginning. You know, somebody like Jessica is never going to come out and be like, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. And because of that, that actually helps her for that first boot. So I think that Jessica can sneak by that first tribal council, maybe the second one, get to a swap. I think she'll have some things in common. Hey, if there's a swap and she can end up with Natalia, if she can end up with Alec, if she can end up with Kara, I think even Dan, Allison, I think there's so many people on the other side that she can work with. And because she's one of those young girls, they never are taken that seriously. And they always seem to end up finding themselves getting pretty deep into the game. I mean, even Libby last year, who they did take seriously, still went all the way to 11th or 12th or whatever place she finished. I can't remember. I've tried to remove Ghost Island from my brain for the most part, but yeah, I think I think Jessica has a lot of potential to go really, really deep in this game.
And she was your number six?
Six.
Okay. So my top six are people who I think they all could win, but actually Natalie at number six, and I thought she was going to be higher, but I don't have her. I think people are going to know up front. Actually, no, that's not true. I think by the time Natalie is at the final six, they are going to know her deal. They are going to know that she is going to swing for the fences to win. She could probably make a damn good sales pitch to win. And I wouldn't want to go up against her. I think she's probably, I haven't heard her voice, except maybe I have. I can imagine her being extremely well-spoken. She's clearly very successful. She clearly knows how to get what she wants. And I think even if she goes up against, like she goes up against like your 25-year-old Gabby, yeah, Natalie's probably already a millionaire, but I think she'd be able to frame it pretty well why she deserves another million. I think if she goes up against Dan, and Dan's like, Dan spends his Friday nights hanging out with his two daughters. I think Natalie could still win. And so I think people are going to see her and say, I don't want her anywhere near this fire-making challenge. We got to get rid of her earlier than that.
Yeah, and I don't know. So I have Natalie at 5, and I don't know Natalie's whole story, but I know that she's a publisher for R Weekly, which is an African-American magazine. And, like, I'm not sure if she's the one who started that magazine or not, but I think that Natalie is somebody who is – she is a go-getter. Like, she's going to be somebody who goes out there on the island, and she is going to try to get things done her way, but I think she's going to know how to get things done her way. I think she's going to be vocal, but not too vocal.
That's what she does. That's what she does.
And you know what? If you're a publisher, then what you're doing a lot of the time is you're reading other people's work and you're having to tell them this is terrible without telling them this is terrible. So I know she's not an editor, but you know, that is something that she probably has done numerous times throughout her life. And now she's 56 years old. She, I think, probably has perfected that art of, oh my God, this is garbage, but here's what you should fix, and this is what'll make it better. And I think that she probably knows how to do it in a non-condescending way. And so I agree. I think she can make it very, very far in this game. I think she's somebody who, if she can get to the end and you look at her as the oldest woman, oldest player to start the season by 9 or 10 years, by a lot, and she can make it all the way to the end, that's an impressive run. I mean, that's a really well done run. So I agree with you. People aren't going to want to sit next to her unless somehow she goes out there and blows things up. But I don't think she's going to. I think that she's going to be a really good player who just falls short ultimately. And, you know, hopefully what you end up hoping for, at least my hope for Natalie is, and my hope for some of these older men too, is that we get one of those characters who we haven't had in a while that people start saying, ooh, I really want Natalie to come back. Because we haven't really had like the old female character that people are like, oh, we really want that person to come back in a long time. So I would like to see somebody like Natalie or maybe Carl, or, you know, Jeremy's only a year younger than Carl, although I think he looks a decent amount younger than Carl. But one of those people to come out there and kind of be that person who Survivor says, okay, we have that person for our next season.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good analysis. I think Natalie is one of those people, and Natalie is probably up there with my remaining six, who I think a lot of people are talking about in the preseason. And I think people really want to like her. And again, we really haven't heard much from her, but she's someone who's going in with a lot of hype. So there's going to be a lot of attention around her.
Yeah.
Number 5, I go Carl. And I think Carl is like, Carl's your last real vote because our final four is such a hot mess now. And I think people are going to look at Carl and want to give this guy $1 million. And I think he's a little more discreet than Pat or Elizabeth or B. And so I think he'll be able to fly under the radar a little bit. He has a very calming voice. Like, 2 out of his 4 first impressions call him a cowboy. Like, people want to just hang with him. And I think that's going to do really well for him. But in the end, I do not want to sit with him in the final 3. And I guess I don't want to make fire against him. I don't really know how good these people are making fire.
I was just about to say, like, am I an idiot for putting Nick at 4, meaning that he would lose the fire making challenge?
I did that too, which means I might switch things up. But I'm trying not to think about that too much because I can't – you really just can't factor that in.
No. I mean, you can't, because I'm really looking at this as I think Nick can win the game, and I think, like, he probably finishes at worst, like, 9th or 10th. So putting him at 4 for me, it's kind of like a little bit of a middle ground, leaning more towards he does better than 10th. So that's why I put him at 4. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying with Carl being, like, the last boot before a fire-making challenge.
And that's really funny because I have Dan at number 4. And Dan is another person who, like, at first glance, I don't think would lose a fire-making challenge to Gabby, who is my number 3. Maybe Gabby has, you know, her entire life been practicing making fire against SWAT officers. In which the case that does happen, I want some of the million that she maybe wins. But yeah, I have Gabby at 3. I'll just finish up. I go Dan 4, Gabby 3. I have Jeremy at number 2. And I originally had Jeremy winning, but the more I'm reading about him, he keeps saying like, oh, there's this other side of me, this other side of me that I'm not seeing. I'm seeing him as extremely level-headed, really, really smart. Unsure whether or not he'll talk about being an attorney, but he wants to stir up trouble, and that usually doesn't get you to win. And I have Allison at number 1, and Allison winning.
Okay, so you stuck with Allison. I know you were a big fan of Allison. You talked me into
because
Allison.
I want to hang out with her.
And if everybody missed our cast assessment, I missed Allison's like as a person coming into that. I didn't even read her bio, so I forgot.
So
Allison.
I thought there were 19 people on this season.
Yeah, I did. Well, you know, once you get to like 10, I have trouble counting past that. So I really had a hard time keeping up. But I end up putting Allison at
media.
Yeah, I put Allison at 3, and I really like Allison. You really talked me into really liking Allison. And once again, this my final three, I don't see this as a final three. If this was a final three, this would be the Courtney, Amanda Todd final three, and somehow Allison made her way to a third place. But I see this like this would be a really likable final three. It's not necessarily the way I think the final three will go, but I think that these three people have really, really high ceilings. And so I have Allison at 3. I have Dan at 2. Dan's been amazing. Like on with I think he had something on Reddit where he made that video. And
oh, I didn't watch it. Was he singing in the shower?
He was singing in the shower. Yeah. Awesome. So there you go. So I put Dan at 2. And then I stuck with Gabby at 1. And I don't know if I'm just being completely like idiotic in all of this, but maybe it's like the PTSD from saying Aubrey would get last and like the similarities I like see between Aubrey and between Gabby. But I'm keeping Gabby at number 1, and I'm saying that's the other thing though. I don't think she could beat Dan in the final 3 if they're both sitting there. She would have had to play a really good game. I feel like Dan's a really likable guy. But I don't know. I think Gabby, somehow I'm keeping her as my winner pick up to this point. So congratulations, Gabby. You're cursed since Michelle won.
You are ruined. Yeah. I see the Gabby and Aubrey comparisons. Now I'm like, I think I'm very sensitive or against like the physical comparisons. Like when people were like, Laura Rimmer and Denise from China, same person. I'm like, that's not true. Like,
but I don't think Gabby and Aubrey look that similar, to be honest.
I don't think they look similar, but I think like, yeah, they have the whole like cute nerdy chick thing going on. But I still think like Gabby's personality, I think, is a little, I don't know. I'm really not described. I can't really come up with the right word. Hopefully I can at some point. But Gabby and Aubrey, I think, have very different senses of humor. I could see them being, I get why people compare them. But I see them having different senses of humor. But I mean, I have Gabby pretty high too. We have a pretty similar final four.
Yeah, we do.
Which probably means they're going to be the first four to go home.
Yeah, last year I had Brendan as my winner. The season before that, I had Allie as my winner. And the season before that, I had Haley as my winner. So, oh, and who was 33? I know I didn't have Adam. Totally butchered that one. Sorry, Adam. But yeah, so it's been rough for me. Since the Michelle victory, and I guess rightfully so because of how obnoxious I was about that victory. But I think like when you look at like a new cast, you're always looking at who does this person look like that I've seen play before, because that's like the easiest way to compare them. And when I make the Aubrey and Gabby comparison, it's mainly based on they're the nerdy chick thing. That's really what I'm basing it on. I'm not really basing it on looks because I don't think they look that similar at all. And I'm not even basing it on like their careers because I don't know what Aubrey was doing at the time when she came in. But it says here that Gabby's a technical writer. She lives in Denver. So I just think they'll like, I don't know. Maybe I just have to make the comparison somehow. And I have like the PTSD of underestimating the nerdy chick stereotype. So I'm like, here you go, Gabby. This is your chance to prove me right, I guess.
Prove wrong because you're underestimating.
Well, no, I'm not underestimating her this time. So she has to prove me right this time by proving me wrong the last time.
So I'm the opposite. I had that Wendell winner pick, and now I just think I'm the greatest.
Yeah, well, you come back down to earth. Well, so who did I actually have last season then? I said Brendan.
You ended up with Brendan.
But I did have Dom. It was between Dom and Brendan.
You and I had I had Brendan winning one thing, but I had Wendell as my overall winner pick. And I think you had Wendell winning some, like your boot list or your prop bet. But you actually had Brendan as your winner pick. So they were all pretty similar.
I think I constantly had Dominic in second place, which, hey, that's the greatest call
of
all
time. That worked out well.
Yeah, that was a great call. Well, I mean, that's the entire boot list. I mean, this is
so fast.
Pull through it. It's like that was like 50 minutes, which seems so fast for us. Even though that's like probably what people would prefer a normal length podcast.
Yeah, there was one. There's always one comment that's like, can someone just describe what happened because they talked for 2 straight hours?
I know. Which my whole thing is like, go for a 2-hour car ride or move to Los Angeles where every car ride's 2 hours because you'll listen to a whole podcast and be bored on the way home.
I was gonna say like exercise, but sitting in a car works. That's fine.
Sitting in a car is exercise, right? You're sitting.
Or clean your room to the soothing sound of Phil and I agreeing on everything.
That sounds like an awful thing. But yeah, we agreed way too much today. We didn't even have like the one where I wanted to scream at you because I understand why you had Jessica Lowe. I just think you're wrong. But like, I didn't have a reason to be like, that's so stupid. Like, we didn't have anybody that we didn't have anybody we really disagreed on. That's really bad.
Well, the good thing, I think it's weird because we don't have enough intel on everybody. So, like,
yeah.
I have no reason to think that you're wrong because I don't know anything about these people. Some of these first one out things keep coming. And the prophet's a good one because now we're just making, like, ridiculous assumptions about people. We are going to have to edit two of them because two of the props were Ghost Island specific. So maybe we can change one of the props to, like, gets their idol nullified because that's the thing. And then maybe we can leave it up to the fans to come up with our other one.
Yeah, if anybody has ideas, comment them on here. We do use them a lot. We'll give you credit for that one time, and then we'll claim it as our own every day after that. But we will give you credit right at the beginning of that one podcast. So, I mean, what more could you want?
That, I can't imagine anything else you could want. Actually, why don't you tweet at us with your ideas? Because this...
Yes, that's a good point.
This video should only have comments that either one are talking about how amazing and intelligent and attractive we are, and two, with your boot list.
Exactly. So
anything else, please tweet at us or Facebook message us.
Yes. And if you haven't listened to our cast assessment yet, make sure you go listen to that so that you can properly make a boot list. And, you know, share that cast assessment with everybody you know so that they know, like, wow, Phil and Alexa are back doing another cast assessment for this is our third year doing it now together. So,
oh my God, we're doing so well.
I know, so many years now. But yeah, so this is actually my seventh season now. This is ridiculous.
Wow, you are old.
I'm old. But anyway, for anybody who was here when I was just a wee lad, go and remember we give out these. We do give out buffs. Look at the two right behind me. I don't know how to position my hand here. There they are. So go listen to the cast assessment, make your boot list, put it on this video. Alexa, why don't you take us home?
I will take us home. Make sure you watch your cast assessment, one, to give us ad revenue, and two, so that you can make a proper boot list. When you make your boot list, rank them 1 through 20. 1 means they're going to be the winner, 20 means they're going to be the first one out. Base it on whatever you want, except for spoiled boot lists, especially if those are wrong. Comment on this video only. Do not tweet at us. Do not post on Facebook. Do not email us. Do not mail me. Do not find me. Put it on this video. Otherwise, we are not counting it. You also, please, please, please make sure you're not repeating names. There were so many times when I would make a boot list or I would log a boot list and then realize that someone repeated the same name. I just deleted them. Please make sure you're doing your homework on these people. We'll keep this open until... what, like the Sunday before the...
We might keep it open a little bit longer this time just because we got so little information and we had such short time. I mean, we're only giving people really like, what, a week and 2 weeks before the premiere. Yeah. It's 2 weeks before the premiere right now.
So why don't we end it like the Tuesday before the premiere? Because I don't want to be logging it like on Wednesday.
Because you'll be logging it, not intern.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be making our intern do it. So please make sure to bother him. In the meantime, in the past week since we did our cast assessment, we gained like 30 YouTube subscribers. So thank you. Please keep following us on YouTube at Survivor Specialist. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Shoot us an email. And we'll be back this Sunday with our Prop Bet podcast. And then we'll be back 1 week from today with our fantasy game. And then a week after that, it's a premiere. So good thing about this cast being announced, ladies, it's a really quick preseason. So this is coming up pretty soon. But in the meantime, we'll be back this Sunday, times to be determined. Probably not when the Patriots are playing. I don't know when the Lions are playing.
No, we could do it when the Lions are playing. We should probably do it when the Lions are playing.
I know. I realized halfway through I needed to talk about how bad the Lions played.
Did they play bad? Did they even show up? Is Matt Patricia the worst coach of all time? Do I need the answers to life's bigger questions? No. No, I'm just a Lions fan, and I'm meant to suffer. So that's it. Pretty much, I can do Survivor. This is my pitch to CBS. I can do Survivor because I've been a Lions fan since I was 3 years old. And if I can survive that, I can survive on an island starving because this is worse.
Yeah, that sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Yeah, being a Lions fan is a Phil problem. So anyways, tune in on Sunday. We'll let you know the time. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back.
Bye.